Welcome to the November 29th, 2009 morning worship service of College Park Baptist Church. Today's message is by the Reverend Raymond Smith and is entitled, The Cause for Hope. If you are in Winston-Salem, please join us for worship and fellowship at 1701 Polo Road. You can find out more about our church at www.collegeparkbaptist.org. And now for our worship service.
Good morning. We welcome you to worship on this first Sunday of Advent. A few announcements we'd like to make as we get started this morning. I want to recognize Carolyn and Russell. Where are Carolyn and Russell? Come on down.
Good morning. I heard someone say on television this morning that you can give without loving, but you cannot love without giving. And I would like to say that so many people have already lived and given, loved and given. People on our campaign committee who have served faithfully on various kinds of committee functions, who have hosted events, who spent time planning, who have helped stuff and prepare mailings, who have already made commitments. You have loved and given to our Lord. God is faithful. He will do the work that He has in mind for us to do. I do believe that these efforts will bear fruit and have eternal consequences. I read a book several years ago. I can't remember the exact title of the book, but it's about who you'll meet in heaven. And, you know, when I first started reading the book, I was thinking, okay, I hope I'll see my parents, I hope I'll see my siblings, my children, and so forth. But as I read the book, I realized I might run into people that I've had some effect or interaction with in life. And hopefully my effects and interactions will be good. But I started thinking, wouldn't it be really cool if we get to heaven and somebody says, you know, I'm here because y'all have that facility at College Park Church, and that brought me to church, and I met the Lord and Savior at that church because of that facility. That's the kind of consequence we're talking about. And that's why I appreciate so much the kinds of commitments and sacrifice that people are making. A lot of people have already made decisions and are giving sacrificially. And a lot of people have also said that they will make that decision later, or that they can't make a specific commitment at this time, but they will be faithful to give as they're able to give and do so sacrificially. And the Lord will honor that, whatever the decision is. At this time, Russell is going to tell us the commitments that we have that have been made already. Thank you.
Okay. So far, we have 131 family giving units that have made actual commitments to participate in the campaign. So you remember that song, you know, Deep and Wide? We kind of got the hmm, but we don't yet have the hmm. So if anybody else would like to send in cards, we will still be accepting them, and I would love to urge you to do that. But the total, I think, is pretty good so far. These commitments so far total $1,010,331, and I think that is fantastic.
And the next logical question is, where do we go from here? And so just to give you a kind of a expectation of where we'll go from here, next Sunday morning will be our first fruits gathering, the offering of first fruits for our capital campaign, for our building projects. And so we'll receive that next Sunday morning. And you should have offering envelopes, the green ones that are in the back of the pews, as well as an offering. Hopefully you've picked up your offering envelope packets, so they'll be in there. And if you would please place those first fruits offerings in there. If you're able to give the whole amount at one time of your commitment, pledge, whatever, certainly next Sunday would be the appropriate time to do that, because following next Sunday, we'll be meeting with representatives from Finance Committee and Facilities Update and Capital Campaign, and we'll be meeting and formulating, looking where we are, how much money do we have on hand, how much money has been pledged. And from there, we will draft a motion to bring to the church in a called conference in January. All right, and it'll be on a Sunday morning. Won't be on Wednesday night. It'll be on a Sunday morning in January. That will be a recommendation from that combined grouping of Facilities Update, Finance, and the Steering Committee for the Capital Campaign. And that recommendation will be based on whatever information we have, the total amount that has been committed, the total amount that has been given. And at that point, they'll have a recommendation for you in regard to how we proceed from here. How do we proceed in terms of the renovations, and whether or not to borrow money and proceed with new construction. So stay tuned. But that is how the process will work. Those groups will bring a recommendation to the church, and we will not proceed until the church has its vote and say on that. So I want to give you that word. We do celebrate a wonderful total dollar figure. I hope that amount increases. We know it will, because, as they've already mentioned, we've had a number of you that turn in commitment cards, as Gail reports to me, that said, we will give what we can. We're not sure of that dollar figure. And if that's you, thank you again. If you're hesitating to turn in your commitment card because you don't know that amount, go ahead, turn it in. Give us your best guess, and or use that phrasing that you'll give sacrificially, just not sure of a total dollar figure. So we'll know how to communicate with you in regard to your commitment. So thank you again, and thank you to Carolyn and Russell and all the steering committee that have helped work us through this. And Reuben's not here this morning, but also a big thank you to him. Thank you.
It has been a very exciting time as we've entered into our capital campaign and our new building project, and we know that our goal is for God to be glorified throughout this, and we thank you for all the people that have worked so hard to make that possible. Speaking of Jim, basketball starts this coming Saturday. We have four of our teams that will be in action in the Hoops for Him League, and we will have those schedules at the Welcome Center desk that you can pick those up. We will also post them in the bulletin and the newsletter. College Park has the best fans across the city. The best fans for Hoops for Him basketball come from this church. And it is exciting for our children, our youth, to come to the games and see your faces there. So we would love for you to come and to cheer on our team starting next Saturday. There are other announcements that you'll see listed in your bulletin. Opportunities for the week, regular schedule tonight for our youth. With choir and snack supper and youth worship at 6. Regular schedule this week with all the with missions groups for children, for youth, with adults. Many things that are happening. Make sure that you make note of that. Let me see. Reminder, today in worship, we are having children's time. This is when the children will come down here and visit with me for just a few minutes. That's going to be right after the hymn number 76. So we want all the children to come down at that time. Many of you have already provided exam pack treats. Some of you may not know what we do every Christmas and every April 1st of May is we visit all the college students in our church that are in this state. And we visit those campuses and we take them a study pack of goodies and sugar and things to get them through exams. And we were originally planning to go this week. We're actually going to extend that by 1 week. So if you're able to provide us individually wrapped goodies, homemade, store-bought, if you want to bring some tests by, I'll be glad to test them out prior to you making up to 50 goodies for 50. No, I don't need 50 tests. I just need 50 for our college students. That would be great. We would like to have those turned in next Sunday morning. Some of you have already done that, and we appreciate that. We'll take care of those. And the adult one kitchen was the kitchen just below the sanctuary. I think that is all the announcements set for next Sunday. Very excited. This is one of the Sundays I look forward to most in the year. Our children will be in charge of worship next Sunday morning. That means from the very beginning to the very end. And we are very excited about what's been going on in our preschool and our children's department, and that this church allows our children to lead us in worship. So that's going to be an exciting Sunday next week. So we hope that you come and participate and anticipate that God is going to do something amazing next Sunday morning like he does each and every week. I think that's all the announcements. We want to say a special welcome. I didn't ask you to do the pew pads, did I? The pew pads. There are pew pads on the inside aisle of every pew. We like members and guests alike to fill these out for us. If you don't see it, you may be sitting on it. What we like is for you to fill your name, check the appropriate boxes, send it to the end of the pew so everybody has a chance to fill that out. And then, once it gets to the end, if you could send it back to where it got started, this helps us find out who was in worship today. Once it gets back to the first person, if you could tear out the pages that were used today, that would help our ushers gather those at the end of the service. Thank you for helping us out with this. We want to say a special welcome to our guests. You may have just put your name down on the pew pad. We would like to give something to you. So our ushers are coming down the aisles now. They have a packet of information that they would like to give to you. You just gave us your information. We have something with a letter from our pastor, as well as a newsletter. Also, it tells you a little bit of the story of College Park. So if you're a guest, just raise your hand right where you are, and they will be glad to give you this welcome packet. We are so, so blessed with you being here today in worship, and we pray God would speak to you in a mighty way today. I'd like to recognize Karen Valentine.
Good morning to you. Morning. This is the time of year when we turn our attention to international missions. And we want to thank our GAs who did such a good job last Sunday getting us started with their introduction and the information they gave us about the Lottie Moon and Cooperative Baptist Fellowship offerings. In your bulletin this morning, I'm sure you've noticed that there's some information on these missions, including a prayer guide. We'd ask you to please be in prayer this week for the safety and the encouragement of our foreign missionaries. Also, please pray that all of their needs will be met, including their financial needs. Every penny that's given to Lottie Moon or CBF Global Missions goes to support Baptist missionaries who are serving around the world. And this year, our church has set a goal of $25,000. This Wednesday evening, retired missionaries Dorothy and Randall Slade will be joining us to tell us about their extensive work in South America. And we invite you to come out and hear them, hear their story, and share their experiences. That's this Wednesday night after dinner in Smith Hall. You know, in just a few weeks, we're going to gather together again, right here in the sanctuary, to celebrate the coming of the light of Christ into the world. And as that light is symbolically passed from person to person, from hand to hand, from candle to candle, and the light pierces the darkness, we're called to remember there that so many people in this world who still live in darkness. And God, in His wisdom, has called each one of us to reach out to those people and to participate in this very important work for His glory. And the Bible scholar Herschel Hobbes says, "Where we can go, we are to bear our personal witness. But where we cannot go, we are to send those whom God calls to work in specified missionary areas. We are to go through them in the form of missionary praying and giving." So supporting the Lottie Moon and CBF Global Missions with our prayers and donations will equip foreign missionaries to take the light of Christ from this place into places we may never personally go. I hope we'll all participate in this very important service of praying and giving. Thank you.
One of the integral parts of our Advent worship services is the lighting of the Advent wreath. And we're excited this morning to invite the Morris family to come and to lead us in that lighting.
All right. First Sunday in Advent, I'll be reading from the Old Testament in Isaiah chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. The word that Isaiah, the son of Amoz, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. "It shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established as the highest of the mountains, and shall be lifted up above the hills, and all the nations shall flow to it. And many peoples shall come and say, 'Come, let us go up the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways, and that we may walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go the law, for out of Zion shall go the law, and the world and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between the nations and shall decide disputes for many peoples, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares." Almost had a slip there, didn't I? "And they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. O house of Jacob, come, let us walk in the light of the Lord."
And from the book of Romans, chapter 8, verses 18 through 25. "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we are saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. Today we light the candle of hope.
Pray with me. Father, already in the middle of this service, we know that you are here. And it's only because of you being in this place that we find purpose. So hear us, invite you to this service by our own free choice. We want you in this sanctuary to fill it up with your love and your grace and your teachings that will change us forever. Come in and change us forever, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Jesus, oh, what a wonderful child. Jesus, morning. How are all y'all doing today? Do you know my helper, Claudia? I am Claudia. Can you say good morning, Claudia?
Good morning, Claudia.
Have you ever lost your voice? What does it feel like? There was a guy in the New Testament who lost his voice because he did not listen to God. His name was Zechariah, and he was a priest. He was a priest in the temple of Jerusalem. One day, an angel came to Zechariah and told him that his wife Elizabeth was going to have a child. Zechariah told the angel that he could not believe it because they were too old. To teach him what was possible, God made Zechariah's voice go away while Elizabeth was pregnant. 9 months isn't that a long time? 9 months. Well, 9 months later, Elizabeth gave birth to a son, John, who was a cousin of Jesus. Do you know what was the first thing Zechariah said when his voice came back? He sang a song, "Praise to the Lord, the God of Israel." Sometimes God wants to teach us, but sometimes we talk way too much and do not listen. He wants us to believe. Can you say believe?
Believe.
That's amazing. Believe. Believing. That's exactly what God wanted Zechariah and all of us to do. Sometimes we're too busy talking to listen to somebody else, because we just want to talk. And Zechariah didn't believe the angel when he came. And Claudia was helping me say, you know what God wants us to do? He wants us to believe exactly what he's saying. That's what Christmas is about. Okay? Can you help me pray about that? Let's pray. God, we love you. And we thank you so much that you taught Zechariah a lesson that you want all of us to learn. That sometimes we're talking and we're so busy that we don't listen to what you want to tell us. Give us the ears to hear the message that you have for us this Christmas. In Jesus' name, amen. Can y'all say, good job, Claudia? Good job, Claudia. Y'all can go back to your seats.
I want to invite you, as we go into a time of scripture reading, I want to invite you to take your Bible if you brought it with you. If not, no problem. There should be one close to you there in the pew. I want to invite you to join with me. We're going to be reading first from the book of Joshua. And the reason for that, you say, well, this is not a scripture that's normally associated with Christmas. And indeed not. But here's the point. Jesus was the fulfillment of prophecy. He was the Messiah that was sent. And he was the ultimate fulfillment of God's covenant with us. And it's important for us to look back and look through the history of the children of Israel as they struggle and as they came into the promised land, and to remember that God does keep his promises. That is our hope. That is the nature of a covenant relationship, as we know God keeps his promises. So this morning it's a reminder of the hope that we have that God is faithful to deliver his promises and to deliver his people. So as the children of Israel prepared to cross into the promised land, Joshua chapter 1, beginning in verse 1, talks about these preparations. At the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people, get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land that I'm about to give them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you've set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon, and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country, to the great sea on the west. No one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. Be strong and very courageous.
Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you will go. And then from chapter 21 of Joshua shows the fulfillment of these promises that we just heard read. Joshua 21, beginning in verse 43. So the Lord gave Israel all the land he had sworn to give their forefathers, and they took possession of it and settled there. The Lord gave them rest on every side, just as he had sworn to their forefathers. Not one of their enemies withstood them. The Lord handed all their enemies over to them. Not one of all the Lord's good promises to the house of Israel failed. Every one was fulfilled. And then from Hebrews chapter 10 in the New Testament, Hebrews chapter 10, beginning in verse 19 and reading through verse 25. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way open for us through the curtain, that is, his body. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. Let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. May God bless the reading and understanding of his holy word. Would you pray with me? Gracious God, we know that you are a God of covenants, that you are faithful to your covenant, that you are faithful to the promises that you've given us and to all who've walked before us. Father, and it's in that confidence, in that hope, and in that assurance that we can approach your throne with confidence, knowing that you love us, that you've demonstrated that love for us in the person of Jesus Christ, the awaited Messiah, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. And so, Father, we, with praise and thanksgiving in our heart, we approach you and approach your throne, celebrating this day that the Lord has made, confident and grateful for it. And Father, as we look around us, we see people come in to worship, and many are grateful, many are thankful, others are burdened. And so we pray for one another. We pray that we'd be faithful to encourage one another. Father, may your spirit be free to move in this place, touching everyone at their point of need, whether it be point of guilt, whether it be point of mistrust, whether it be a point of forgiveness, whether it be a point of hurt because of bad news, bad diagnoses that we've received this week, whether it be a point of hurt because we've lost loved ones this week. Father, whatever it may be, we know that you are loving and capable and a healing Father who can touch us at that point. Father, we have moved out of a time of thanksgiving in terms of a calendar, but help us to always be people who are faithful to offer thanksgiving to you, because we know that all good gifts come from you. And even as we look at the coming Messiah, the time of Advent, the time of Christmas and celebration, Father, we pray that we would constantly be people who are thankful in our hearts and demonstrate that through our graciousness to other people. Father, help us to be servants. Help us to be loving, caring, giving people who demonstrate the love of Jesus Christ for those who need to know Jesus personally. Father, we thank you for all that you give us. We thank you for being a holy God who loves us unconditionally. For it's in Jesus' precious name that we ask these things. Amen.
Let us pray. Father, on this weekend that we celebrate Thanksgiving, let us remember those that serve us, our men and women in the military, police, and fire departments, also those in the mission fields. Let us always serve you with joy in our hearts and a smile on our face. Please accept these offerings and let them be used in your name. Amen.
This is the first Sunday of Advent. It is the Sunday that we talk about hope. We've had the candle of hope that was lit at the early part of the service. And we're going to talk about hope. And if you do a little research on the word hope, you'll get lots of different opinions and thoughts. As I was kind of doing a search through the word hope and what it means, I came upon a story of a gentleman named David Aikman. David Aikman holds a Ph.D. in Russian and Chinese history. Interesting combination there, isn't it? A Ph.D. in Russian and Chinese history. He worked for over 20 years as a respected journalist for Time magazine. And a few years ago, he took some time off and he wrote a book. The title of the book was Hope, The Heart's Great Quest. Now, through extensive study and interaction with a lot of different people groups, he came to the conclusion that every single human heart yearns for hope. Even if he or she does not know exactly what hope is, we still yearn for it. So he wrote this in his book, and I'm quoting from his book. Hope is the distinguishing feature of Christianity compared to any other belief system. It is far more evident in Christianity than in any other religion or philosophy. In New Testament times, the two other prevailing philosophies did not offer hope. Stoics were educated, civilized, thoughtful, and kindly, but were grieved at the condition of humankind and were unable to do anything else but live in quiet dignity. Meanwhile, the Epicureans just simply sought pleasure. So people were either cynics or hedonists. Christianity changed the prevailing attitude. Hope. So on this, the first Sunday of Advent, let me challenge you to be an agent of hope to a world that now, even as it was 2,000 years ago, that now is desperately searching for hope. And as we read the stories, all the stories, we're going to read lots of stories about Christmas. Because we'll have them in the news, we'll have them in Scripture as we come together. We'll read the stories about Christmas. And as we read those stories, we need to resist the temptation to allow culture to influence us into trivializing Christmas into something, nothing more than another commercial holiday. It's that time of the year that we have to bring in money in order to stay in business for another year. Let's not trivialize it. Instead, let's put forth the powerful meaning of Christmas and the hope that it offers for our lives and reflect that to others. For you see, the true message of Christmas is about hope. Hope is one of the greatest needs of the human heart, and it's one of the greatest messages of the Christmas story. In the English language, sometimes we mistreat hope, if you will. We condense or we downplay the word hope to make it to just be something like a wish. In other words, I hope that I get a new iPod for Christmas. Or, college students, good to see y'all. Good looking group. Glad you're home for Thanksgiving. In the next week or so, you will begin to say, I hope I pass this exam. Or I hope Jeff gets here soon with my exam pack. A lot of those type of words. And those are the words that we use for hope. That's the meaning we have for hope. But in the Bible, hope is much deeper. Hope is a kind of confidence. So let's look together at the hope that Christmas brings. The first thing, hope is confident expectation that God will fulfill His promises. In Luke chapter 1 and 2, I'll be quoting from those, so be kind of going all through back and forth between Luke chapter 1 and 2. But in Luke chapter 1 verse 45, which was kind of the follow-up to what Jeff was teaching with the children this morning, Mary, the mother of Jesus, goes to meet her cousin Elizabeth. And Elizabeth says in verse 45, blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished. That's the language of hope. Hope is believing that what the Lord said will be accomplished. Do you believe that? Do you believe what the Scripture says will be accomplished? You can do this. You don't have to speak out loud. You cannot. Do you believe that? If you believe that, why do we go through life with persimmon faces? Do you know what a persimmon face is? Have you ever eaten a persimmon? We go through life with persimmon faces. But yet we talk to our friends like, we have hope in Jesus Christ. And that His word will be fulfilled. We know what the final chapter is. We know how the story turns out. We should be people that have joy written all across our face. That have hope written across our very countenance. Because that is what the world is looking for. That is what we can portray. That is what our gift can be. We need the confidence that expectation, our expectation is that God will fulfill what He says He will do. Second thing, hope, trust in God in spite of the problems. Whatever the problems. You see, the whole Christmas story is told in a backdrop of a world that had problems, to say the least. It's interesting because people say, well, you know, our world today is so messed up. Go back and read about the Roman Empire at the time that Christ came. You want to hear messed up? Go back and read about it then. If you're a student of history, you know what I'm talking about. But what the Jewish people had to endure under Roman Empire rule, we don't have any problems compared to that. We don't have any problems. And so the whole backdrop to the Christmas story was the fact that there were a lot of problems. But in spite of that, that there was deep happiness. That in the midst of darkness, there was happiness. There was also profound hope in the face of all of these perplexing problems. And the illustration of that is a guy named Simeon. In Luke chapter 2, verse 25, there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. Simeon was waiting. He was believing. That's hope. And Simeon's hope was not based on a denial of the problems of the day. He wasn't in denial. His hope was based on a decision to trust in God despite the problems of the day. And that's the learning curve for us. Despite the problems of the day, we will trust in God. The world's in turmoil. Yes. The economy is still trying to recover. Yes. Problems with family. Yes. At least in most families. There's a few issues. Okay. Yes. All of those things. But we'll believe and we'll trust in God despite the problems of the day. That is our witness. That is our witness to those, again, who are looking for hope. And that hope, we know, only comes through the Messiah. This is a fantastic time of year to demonstrate that and to tell about that. The third thing hope does, hope trusts God to transcend understanding and even expectations. Think about Mary. Think about Joseph. Think about Simeon. Think about the shepherds. Think about everybody that's involved in the Christmas story. They're not given full explanations that describe in detail how God's going to fulfill His promises. Think about Mary and Joseph. They don't understand the spiritual and the biological details of the miracle of the virgin birth. Think about Simeon. He doesn't know how this little baby will be the light of revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of his people Israel. He doesn't understand all of that. But Mary and Joseph and Simeon do not allow the limitations of human understanding to determine the height of their hope in God. Hope trusts God to fulfill His promises in ways that transcend our understanding and, yes, even our greatest expectations. Learn that from this story. The fourth thing that hope does, hope waits for God to accomplish His will, His way. Chapter 2 of Luke, verse 28 through 30. I'm going to stay with Simeon for just a moment. Simeon took him in his arms, talking about Jesus as Joseph and Mary took Jesus to be presented in the temple. Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, Sovereign Lord, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation. Simeon looked at this child and saw God's salvation for us. And notice the way that he describes his relationship to God. He says, Sovereign Lord. Now, for you language buffs, the word Lord here is not the same word that's translated Lord most of the other places in Scripture. This word Lord is the word from which we get the English word despot. It's not the common name for Lord. As a matter of fact, this word that's translated Lord would probably have a negative connotation in our society. We would say, you know, autocratic leader or dictator even perhaps. But see, for Simeon, it's a word that denotes absolute control, absolute allegiance. It's the word that conveys that one entity has control over those who serve him. And understand, to hope in God for Simeon is not to come to God with his own agenda and say, God, here's what I want to do. Please bless it. And I hope that you do so. That's not what Simeon was saying. He was turning everything over to God. He's saying, you are holy. You are a righteous God. And you must have that place in my life. Sovereign Lord. And for me, that begs a question. And I may step on somebody's toes here. Forgive me if I do, but God stepped on mine all week. You get it now. Are we too chummy with God? You see, I understand that Jesus, Abba Father, Jesus came to give us a relationship where we can say Abba Father. We can approach God as a heavenly Father that cares about us intimately and wants an intimate relationship with us. That's true. But sometimes we reduce that to a point where we think of God as kind of like a pal that we can hang out with and he'll kind of do what we want because he likes us. Don't make that mistake. We serve a sovereign God. We serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Sovereign. Fifth thing that hope does. Actually, it does not. Hope does not disappoint. It doesn't disappoint. The exchange between Elizabeth and Mary shows how hope does not lead to disappointment, but it sees the fulfillment of God's promises for our greater good and for God's greater glory. Look with me in verses 45 through 47. We'll give you the whole exchange, or at least part of the exchange between Elizabeth and Mary. In verse 45, what we read a moment ago, blessed is she, and this again is Elizabeth talking to Mary, blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished. And Mary said, my soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. Mary trusted God. Mary trusted God's promises for good reason. They were all fulfilled in Christ. As he was born there in a manger with other people around, heavenly signs, heavenly host, shepherds, the confusion, the hustle and bustle of the trip there, all of this came into play. But yet it was so much more than Mary could have expected. So I challenge you, on this, the first Sunday of Advent, for this whole Advent season, let God's Holy Spirit speak to you in the stories of Christmas, strengthening your heart with great hope in Him. Share those stories. Share them with other people, because all people yearn for hope, even if they don't know what or who that is. Amen. Let's pray together.
Sovereign Lord, we come to you and we ask for your Spirit to guide us, for your Spirit to offer to us the hope that we can only have through Jesus Christ and the fulfillment of your promises through him. Forgive us when we try to be our own Lord. Set us back lovingly on the path that you have for us. Fill our hearts with joy, peace, and hope. For it's in Jesus' precious name that we pray. Amen. You may be here this morning and you say, well, I don't really know what you're talking about with that whole Jesus thing. I came to church because someone invited me. Fantastic. We're glad that you're here. But if you're here and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, we want to give you a chance this morning. Before the Advent season gets started, you know, kind of in the first Sunday, what better day to have a relationship with Jesus Christ? So if you're here and you don't know Jesus Christ, I'll be here in just a moment at the front. We're going to stand and sing. I'll be glad to share with you how you can have a relationship with this loving God, Abba Father, who desires a personal relationship with you. If you're here this morning and maybe you're a little distracted and you came into the service and things were frantic, and maybe you didn't come into the best of spirits, and now you want to kind of recommit yourself that through this season you will be an agent of hope. I want to invite you to come. The altar will be open here on the sides. I think we may have some prayer warriors that will be coming too. You're welcome to come and pray and kind of set things right and get things back in perspective. If you're here this morning and you'd like to be a part of this congregation, there are many ways we receive members, and I'll be glad to share with you how we do that. But whatever your decision you'd like to make this morning, I invite you to make that as we stand and sing together now.
Thank you.
I want to invite you, if you would, please remain standing following the benediction. Our handbells will have a response to the benediction. Let's pray together. Gracious Father, thank you for the gift of this day of worship. Father, as our hearts have been changed, we pray that our actions and our attitudes will be reflected. Go with us in peace and give us hope, for it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
This concludes this week's podcast of our worship service. Thank you for joining us. We would love to hear from our listeners. Please send our pastor an email at raymond@collegeparkbaptist.org. That's raymon@collegeparkbaptist.org. Or call us at 1-336-768-5870. May the peace of the Lord be with you in the coming week.